Weekend Breakfast
with Refilwe Mpakanyane
on 702 for the curious.
She's an author, a speaker, a coach. Her name is Nikki Bush, our parenting expert here on Weekend Breakfast. Today we're talking about the dangers of living vicariously through our children. You know, at some point, parents need to get over their misplaced expectations that they have for children or their own life disappointments, right? What you couldn't do when you were in high school, what you couldn't do when you were in varsity, and stop expecting your children to fulfill all those unrealized dreams and wishes that you had back then. Nikki, good morning. Talk to me about this.
Good morning. Well, this really was stimulated by a comment you made at the end of last week's interview, where you said your kids are just going to become who they are anyway. Ultimately, they're not a mini-me.
Yeah.
And I think that that is something that we as parents often forget in our kind of quest on this journey to create this perfect child. And I often say to audiences, particularly of younger children, while they still have the time to do this, is that we need to mourn the perfect child at some point. We need to mourn what we didn't get, because I think every parent, before becoming a parent, has this idea of the kind of children they're going to raise or produce and raise. And we kind of live in pictures, don't we?
Sure.
It's kind of that fairy tale in the back of our minds. It's a script that's running that we're going to have these gorgeous, perfect children who are going to be nice and talented and all of this. And at some point, we have to let go of those expectations, and we have to celebrate what, and I say this with tongue in cheek, and sometimes I get backlash from people who are not religious, but take it from where it comes. Celebrate what God left in, not what God left out.
Sure.
Because we're often trying to fix our children and put in what we think should be there, even if it's not there. And then, as you said earlier, you know, that they need to fulfill our unfulfilled dreams, maybe something that didn't happen in our lives, that, oh, we thought we should have been a provincial something, you know, whether it was a provincial cricketer or a provincial tennis player, or if our parents had only paid for extra drama lessons, we would have made it onto the stage.
Yep, I'm laughing because, first of all, I can relate to that, but I'm laughing really because of a conversation that I had with a friend who was disappointed that her son is just not interested in athletics and running, and the kid does not like to sweat. And she thinks it's the most preposterous thing ever, because he was meant to be like her and an athlete.
Yeah. You see, I think we also have a very limited view of what talent really is, because in our heads we're coming from a narrow place of my child's athletic, or my child is cultural, or my child is a linguist, or mathematical, or a humanities. You know, those are, it's quite narrow. Talent is so much broader than that. So you may have, and all children have, multiple talents. It's going to take their entire lifetime to actually uncover all of their talents, or many of their talents. And we put them into, obviously, an educational environment that gives them the opportunity to try out different activities. And they may be good at many of them. This is the thing. So it sometimes becomes confusing when you have a child who's maybe athletic and musical, but in your head, you want an athlete. So you put more priority and time and effort and maybe money into coaching in one particular area. And yet, what is the essence of that child? If the essence and the heart of that child is on the cultural side, but you are pushing the sports side, you really might actually miss that part and almost switch them off and turn them off and shut them down, because they're not actually truly expressing who they are. So I'd like to encourage parents to look at this thing of, in the future world of work, who you are is going to be far more important than what you do and what you sell.
Mm.
So we need to constantly be helping our children to discover more about the who, and we need to be focusing on our children's process of becoming versus always giving so much more acknowledgement to the outcomes of, oh, you won that race.
Sure.
You got an A for this. You got whatever, because we may be actually missing the child in all of that, the mm-hmm. actual essence of the who. So it's important that we understand we also play power games with our children, and we tend to almost sometimes unwittingly manipulate them into doing the things we want them to do versus discovering what it is that they should be doing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because we have an agenda. We actually do have an unspoken agenda, and I think it's a natural part of being a parent. What we're saying today is become more aware of the scripts that you're playing out.
Mm. Well, let's stay with that for a while, Nikki, because it's you know, you use the word manipulate, and many people might, you know, push back on that and say, well, of course I don't manipulate my child. And it's not, you know, as you said, it's not an insidious, you know, undertaking, but it does happen. I don't think we talk about that often enough in parenting conversations, the manipulation, because essentially you are in many ways trying to mold your child into what you think they ought to be, or you thinking that you're trying to mold them and help them grow to the best of their potential.
Yes, there's an interesting line that came out of the teen workshop, and it's that we often say to our kids, I know you better than you know yourself.
Mm.
And yet that means we're not acknowledging that our child is in a process of self-discovery and becoming. So giving our children some space to find their own voice is vital, because the ultimate goal of parenting is to let our children go.
Mm.
They're not going to be with us forever, and independence is actually the goal. Independent living without you, yes, parents, for some of you, that is a very scary thing to think about, letting your children go into the world. So what we tend to do from an early age is, instead of preparing the child for the path, we try and prepare the path for the child. And in so doing, we take away all the obstacles, the bends in the road. We speak for our children often. So when we have, say there's a family function with other families and somebody asks your child something, how often do you intervene and answer for your child?
Mm.
You know, it can be down to small things like your child had a different haircut and somebody says, wow, I love your haircut. And before your child can answer, you step in and say, well, she's been wanting to cut her hair like this for years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
You see where it starts very, very early.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched so often this vicarious living thing going on, especially with boys and their dads. You know, dad who maybe was a provincial sportsman,
mm-hmm.
who thinks his son should follow suit. And I've watched these kids playing sport when their dad is not around. And they play for fun and for the joy of it. And they really are into it. And the minute dad arrives to sit on the sidelines, the temper tantrums start. The rackets get thrown. There's naming and blaming if a point is lost, that it's their partner's fault.
Sure.
And it's so interesting to watch the dynamics. And you can see exactly what is going on. But the parent who's involved can't see it at all.
Of course. What are the other ways in which you've seen parents trying to live vicariously through their children? I mean, we've initially framed the discussion along sort of academic lines, you know, what they should do for a living, or who, you know, what trajectory their life should take. But could it be also sort of experiential or behavioral, where they want, you know, they want to somehow indulge in ways of being in the world that children are able to that they have access to, that they never had access to as well?
Mm, you raise a very interesting point. So Our childhood patterning is very influential on how we parent our children. And once again, the message this morning is be conscious and be awake as to where your responses and your behavior is coming from. And it could be, for example, you didn't have much money as a child. So you want to give your children everything. You could never afford brands, so you let your child have everything that they want.
Sure.
It could be that, that maybe you had some friendship breakups when you were at school, and you don't want your child to experience that kind of pain and loss and rejection. So you kind of smooth the path for your child instead of actually giving them the skills to be courageous communicators by sharing maybe your experiences and helping them to role play how to get out of a difficult situation. That we don't want our kids to feel pain and disappointment and frustration. But the interesting thing is that life teaches us the most at the feet of pain, disappointment, and frustration. And our children are going to have to go through some of that themselves in order to work themselves out. And herein lies the secret, is in teaching our children not to become victims of life,
sure,
but to go out there and conquer life as fearlessly as they can. And that's a process. You don't have a fearless child at the age of 6 necessarily, mm-hmm, you know, or at the age of 16. They're learning how to be gradually, slowly but surely. And they might not get it right all of the time. There's an interesting concept or an interesting thing that plays out often, and I think we've all done this. And I was pulled up for this when one of my children was about 12 and was going through a difficult time with a friend. And I remember phoning the mum, who happens to be a very good friend of mine,
mm-hmm,
and I remember phoning her and saying, "Do you think your son could include my son more?" You know, I was doing the smooth the path for the child.
Yeah.
And because I knew the mum really well. And fortunately, mm-hmm, she was so awake, and she turned around to me and she said, "It's time you stopped walking in front of your child."
And I'm keen to find out, Nikki, how you reacted in the moment.
It was quite sobering, actually. She was quite clear, and I think that's the other thing is we because when we manipulate, we're not clear. We suggest and we, you know, wheedle.
Sure.
She was clear. It actually was pretty much the end of the conversation. Our children will pick their own friends. We cannot make them friends with people they don't want to be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she was so right. And our children kind of drifted apart for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But in adulthood, they've drifted together again.
Sure.
And sometimes you have to drift apart to find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the process. Is that life does meander. And I don't know about you, but I had friends at school who, you know, we split at one point, and then as adults, when we had our own children, we came back together again. And
sure, we find each other later.
Yeah, and our different life experiences have made our adult relationships actually all the richer.
Yeah.
So, you know, this thing of the picture-perfect childhood where every child's going to like your child, mm-hmm, your child is going to be good in the classroom, as well as good on the sports field, as well as talented on the stage. I was watching a program last night on TV. There was an expose around the gymnastics industry in the UK where there have been allegations, of abuse.
Sure, sure.
At the high levels. And I just got to thinking about the fact that, you know, there are some very, very talented children out there. And in order to really hone that talent, you've got to put many hours into something and much money. But, you know, ultimately, you can't guarantee that that child you've invested so much money and time and focus into is going to continue to be that top tennis player or that top gymnast.
Sure.
Ultimately, they will choose what they want to do. And we have to be open-minded. So if you do have that uber-talented child, just keep in the back of your mind that no matter how much you spend, no matter how much time you expend on this child,
or private lessons or extra equipment,
it may not ultimately lead to that child choosing a career in cricket or tennis or gymnastics or anything, whatever it is that you focused on. It may not lead there, and you have to be okay with that from the get-go, that you're doing this to help your child to express themselves. But remember that they're in the process of growing and becoming themselves, and this might not be the end point for them. Very few take it right through, and for very few people does it become their life.
Absolutely. So, Nikki, you know, before we go into the toy review, I'm curious to find out if, and this is a word that obviously I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, so I'm using this with caution. But you know, the term codependency, when parents live vicariously through their children and done, you know, to the extreme, are you running the risk of raising a codependent person, right? Someone maybe who has difficulty making decisions in relationships because they don't trust themselves to be the sort of ultimate authority in their own life, right? Or someone who values the approval of other people over their own thinking or their valuing themselves.
You raise such an important point, and I think that all parents at some point fall into this trap. Firstly, we like to be needed. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we like to see our children's response to our input. And I really do believe that as parents, we need to be very careful of making our children our source of happiness and satisfaction. Mm-hmm. It's an easy one to fall into because their success out there makes us feel so good and so proud. And my question to parents is, do you have a life? And what do you do? How do you create your own sense of satisfaction and happiness? Because if it is the burden that your children are carrying, they will always be doing things to please you. And that is not an empowering way to raise a child, to learn how to create their own version of happiness and success. An empowered child has their own voice. So our role in raising our children is to help them to discover that voice, to discover who they are, to help them use their own voice, and to help them to own their voice so that they trust themselves. Remember, as your children get older, they're going to spend more and more time away from you.
Sure.
In situations and circumstances where you are not there to help them make a decision or to run interference for them. Mm-hmm. How are you raising them so that their future self, what will their future self thank you for one day? Yeah. That's a great question to be asking yourself.
Absolutely. And if also, you know, if you think that you can continue on the same path, it often is not a nice process when the child is an older child or an adult child and pushing back and rejecting, you know, the constant interference, because suddenly you can't manipulate the way you used to when they were younger. Now they're aware. Now they're their own person.
Yep. And that's maybe something for another day, because when you have a child in preschool and primary school, they are much more compliant because they need to be, and that's where they are developmentally. And to keep them safe in the world, we've put boundaries in place. But there's a big shift when you have a teenager, because now they're starting to reach out for the big wide world, and the process becomes different. So that's something we can discuss at another point in time, because there is a letting go, and they're stepping into risk-taking for a reason, and there's got to be risk. An allowance for risk-taking within boundaries.
Sure. All right. All this mourning and letting go that has to happen as a parent. Sure.
That's right.
Talk to me about the Zingo 123 number bingo.
Right. So Zingo 123 is from ThinkFun. And ThinkFun toys produce some amazing games, extremely high quality, very entertaining, and highly, highly educational. There's a Zingo word game, but this is the Zingo number bingo game. And it would be for a child from 4 years old and up. and 2 to 6 players. And it's the kind of game that you can play with your kids, but they also learn how to play it by themselves. So when friends come around, they can actually play without you.
Okay.
And it has this, I used to call it a zapper. Remember those old credit card zapping machines?
Yes, yes,
where
yes.
They used to slide it backwards and forwards or left to right. So these number tiles, these plastic number tiles go into the actual machine called a Zingo Zinger. And when you flip this machine, push it forwards and backwards, 2 tiles will pop out. And the kids actually love this part of the game the most, I think.
That's exactly what I'd have been drawn to when I was young, just like playing with that little contraption, sure.
Well, you know how much educational value that contraption has, because you have to put the tiles neatly into the right place to stack them before you can actually close the machine and then play the zip-zap game, you see, to get them out.
I got you.
But you've got these baseboards, 6 baseboards, and they've got pictures, images of 10 fish or, you know, 1 star. And below the picture, there's also the words 1 and 10. So there's incidental reading, incidental learning happening. And the idea is that you've got to cover your board with these plastic tiles, which are numbers.
Sure.
So the number 10 must go over the 10 fish. The number 1 must go over the 1 star. So your children are getting the picture as well as the word as well as the number. They're learning in all the different phases and stages at the same time. And the first child to cover all the pictures on their board, being a bingo game, is going to be the winner.
Fabulous.
So, you know, it's partly chance what comes out of the Zingo Zinger in your turn. Mm-hmm. So there's waiting, there's turn taking, there's following the rules, and then ultimately somebody is going to win and somebody is going to lose. So that's a good lesson for children, but this is a game that builds early number sense as young players associate digits with images and text, supporting early learning in maths and counting and pattern recognition.
Got to sneak in those lessons and that education, whichever way you can. This is certainly a fun one, though, I must say.
Yeah. The price is around just under 400 Rand, and you're going to find this in major toy stores like Toys R Us and Toy Zone, and then you can also go online to timelesstoys.co.za. I see they're selling it for 389 Rand, but this would be a great addition to your toy collection.
Fantastic stuff, Nikki. Thanks so much. We'll chat again next week.
Great stuff. Have a great day.
All right. The toy there she was talking about is Zingo Number Bingo 1, 2, 3.